Yes, this is a perfect present for Dad, and next day delivery is free.
Perfect. What?
Really? What's the Amazon password?
Dunno, have you saved your passwords online?
Helpful. Not.
Isn't it something to do with Amazon?
What do you mean?
Like Jungle Star Star.
No.
Star Star Jungle?
Nope.
Is it in the book?
In the book. Still no!
No, it's in the book for sure.
In the book for sure. Ugh.
In the book.
Thanks.
Good morning. Well, I wonder if you've ever had that frustration of forgetting a password. I know it seems to happen in our household on a more than once a day basis sometimes. It's annoying, isn't it? Feeling like you're locked out of something. But I wonder if you've ever had the experience of feeling that you don't have the password to access not just Amazon, but something on the spiritual level. You feel a bit locked out, that God is distant, that things other people seem to be able to experience or understand, you're not allowed to. Well, the Bible says there is a password to gain access to God's promise, and sort of like to have a look at and think about this morning. And it's not something that you can work out by reading lots of books or being very good or giving lots of money or trying to be clever about things. It's very simple. And it's expressed in Psalm 100. Now, if you've got your own version of the Bible and you'd like to read along with me, that's great. But I found an amazing version of it in the Message version of the Bible, which is more of a paraphrase, but it gives a really good connection with what I think the psalmist was trying to say. So I'm going to read from Psalm 100 now. I'm going to actually read from my online Bible. I don't know if you've had a chance to explore using modern tech, but it's great because you can read in all sorts of versions. Here we go. Psalm 100. On your feet now, applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter. Sing yourself into his presence. Know this, God is God and God, God. He made us, we didn't make him. We're his people, his well-tended sheep. Enter with a password, thank you. Make yourselves at home, talking praise. Thank him, worship him. For God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal, always and ever. I'm just going to spend a few moments just picking out some of the thoughts from there about how we can come to know that God of love, come to know the joy and the excitement of praising and worshipping him. This morning, the theme for this morning is all about passionate praise and worship. And that's what we want to try and work our way to understanding how we can get that into part of our lives. So verse 1, if you're having a look at the psalm, talks about applauding God, getting on your feet and giving a clap. Wow, sounds a bit strange. If you think about it, the God who made the whole of this universe from the amazing distant galaxies down to the tiniest cells and atoms that made up in our bodies, that's an amazing, awesome, mighty, powerful God. And if that doesn't sort of like stir you and excite you, then, you know, go and watch a nature programme. Go and look up at the stars at night and get excited about this awesome creator God. Verse 2 says to laugh, bring a gift of laughter and sing yourself into his presence. You know, worshipping God isn't all about being heavy and serious and solemn and very, very, you know, controlled. It talks about laughing, letting yourself go, allowing the joy that God wants to give you to have expression. to laugh, to clap, to dance with joy. Now, if you're thinking, uh-oh, not me, I'm sat in my chair, I'm not doing anything like that. Well, I'd just say, have a go at home, first of all. Let yourself go a bit. You know, the Bible speaks about King David, who danced with joy before the Ark of the Lord. So I don't think we can afford to just be too, you know, that's inappropriate. If it's good enough for King David, it's good enough for me, to be honest. Here's a suggestion. I don't know if you do this already, but I find it very helpful to put on some worship songs either on my phone or on the computer if I'm working, or even in the car if I'm driving along, and just be in my own space. Never mind anybody else around me. I can be in my own little zone and I can really respond and worship and sing what's on my heart comes out. Sometimes walking the dog, if there's not too many other dog walkers around, it's a great time to just actually sing yourself into his presence. Now, maybe you're thinking, oh, Liz, you haven't heard me sing. That's not a good idea. It's not about musicality. It's about what your heart wants to say. And have a go. You never know what might happen. Some of the songs in the Bible, some of the Psalms, are called songs of ascents. That means like going up. And if you've seen pictures of Jerusalem or even been there, you'll know it's on top of a mountain, a hill. So to get up to the temple to worship, you have to go uphill. And Israel, it can be a very hot and sweaty country. I can guess, you know, going up that hill to get to the temple would have been a bit of a whew, bit of an effort. And sometimes it's a bit of an effort to get ourselves going in worship. When we come together in church, it feels like, oh yeah, I'd just rather be in bed with a duvet and a cup of tea or something. And that's when, get yourself on your feet, get yourself going, push on up to the city is the way that we start to move ourselves into God's presence. Verse 3 says to remind ourselves that God is God and that he made us, we didn't make him, and we're his people, his well-tended sheep. I love that phrase. Another version says we are the sheep of his pasture. We belong to him. He's going to look after us. And God loves us so very, very much. The Bible talks about being the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. How do we begin to know and understand and experience God's presence with us? It starts with understanding how much God loves us, or reminding yourself if your things have grown a bit cold and distant. Remind yourself you are loved and loved and loved. God gave his very son and Jesus laid down his life. It wasn't taken from him. He chose to because of love for you. You know, if you are entering into a partnership or a marriage relationship with someone, you want to know that they love you more than anything else. They love you, and that you respond with love to them. And there comes a time when you want to commit. You want to say, this is it. No more searching. I'm in. All in for you. And it's a little bit similar to the stages of coming to know God's love in our lives. To understand how very much God loves you. To begin to experience and know that love that we can express back to him. And then to come to a point of saying, I want to commit. This is a one-time all-off thing. I want to commit to this. And if those are stages that you're working through or you're not even started, I just recommend to you that Alpha is a great place to start. And we'll be running an Alpha course very, very shortly at Unity Church. If that's something you'd like to explore, please do let Dave or myself know and we can get you signed up for the Alpha course. One of the poems that's touched me from when I was at university, I came across this poem by a 17th century poet called George Herbert, speaks about God's love. And even though it uses old fashioned language in places, you'll have to excuse him. He was writing about the time of Queen Elizabeth I, so contemporary of Shakespeare. but you hear his passionate understanding that he is loved by God. And no matter our insecurities, our worries, our fears, our guilt, God wants to take us by the hand and invite us in to enjoy his presence. And this version of the poem was read for a Premier Radio production, and I hope you enjoy it.
My name is Edmund Matiashek. I'm a poet and a playwright. Love by George Herbert. Love bade me welcome, yet my soul drew back, guilty of dust and sin. But quick-eyed love, observing me grow slack from my first entrance in, drew nearer to me, sweetly questioning if I lacked anything. A guest, I answered, worthy to be here. Love said, you shall be he. I, the unkind, the ungrateful, ah, my dear, I cannot look on thee. Love took my hand and smiling did reply, who made the eyes but I? Truth, Lord, but I have marred them. Let my shame go where it doth deserve. And know you not, says love, who bore the blame? My dear, then I will serve. You must sit down, says love, and taste my meat. So I did sit and eat.
Hope you enjoyed it. But let's just finish off Psalm 100. And when we look at verse 4, this is where the action is. It says the password is key. And the password is thanks. Thank you, God. Why is it so important to say thank you? Because when we say thank you, we are recognising all the ways that God is at work in our hearts and our lives. God's not visible in front of our eyes, but he works in ways that we can see. And so when we say, thank you, God, I see you at work in my life. Thank you for what you've done in my work situation. Thank you for helping me to forgive this person. Thank you for the love you've stirred up in my family. We're acknowledging this is God at work in our lives. And we can look at the Bible and say, well, thank you, God, that you have promised to love me. Thank you that you have good plans for me. Thank you that Jesus came and died for me. When we say thank you, it draws us closer and closer to God's heart. And I'm going to put a song on in just 1 second that's called Thank You, Jesus. The words are there. If you want to sing along, that would be great. But if you just want to close your eyes and listen, and I'd invite you to think, what can you say thank you to God for? And then when you've thought about that, to share it on the chat function online. And in so doing, we will encourage one another. The final verse of the Psalm 100 says that we can lift each other up, we can proclaim God's glory, we can say that God is good and he loves us forever. We can let the next generation, the people around us know what God has been doing in our lives. So why don't we do that now? Why don't we encourage one another? And I'll let you listen and worship and share, and be back with you very shortly. Well, I hope you are encouraged by that. It's great when we hear what God is doing in the lives of others, isn't it? Now, last week, Dave shared with us the vision and values that we want to express as Unity Church going forwards this year. To remind you, he used three E words: encouraging others to experience and respond to God's love, equipping them through commitment to local church, and empowering them to be a blessing to the community. Those are amazing aspirational words that we really think be fantastic if Unity Church could be the means through which people are encouraged, equipped and empowered. But like some New Year's resolutions, they take a little bit of unpacking and putting into action. And I wonder if we can, you know, fully understand what those words would make Unity Church look like. And over the next few weeks, we're going to try and dig in a bit deeper to see how that will, we experience all of that in our church. And the first one this week that I've already talked a little bit about is the expression of passionate worship. And we said on our vision and values, we respond to the Father's love in shown in Jesus Christ with joyful Spirit-led worship. We've already thought a little bit about responding to God's love, haven't we? And I wonder how we can show that response. It might start as an internal response, but very often the Holy Spirit, when it comes to live in our lives, it can bubble up and show in all sorts of ways. Worship really means anything we say or do that shows God's worth and our devotion to him. It might come out in singing, in praying, speaking out words, taking actions of love towards others. I want to just land a little bit on the singing aspect, because we do spend a fair bit of time doing that usually in church, although ironically less this week. Why singing especially? Well, I think singing more than words has the ability to connect what the words mean in our minds with an emotional response in our hearts. It's known that even when dementia robs people of the ability to remember words, faces, and express themselves with words, singing and music can cut through all of that and can raise up memories, can bring people to a point of response. And we're not just heads on sticks walking into church. We are heart and soul and body. And we want the Holy Spirit to have all of us, not just that bit. Or not even just that bit. The two together. And singing does that so very, very powerfully. But I want to emphasise also that what happens when we're together in church is only the sum of what happens when we're on our own. And if at home we're not taking time to connect with God, we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us with praise and worship, then together we can barely expect the experience to be any different. There's a verse in Luke chapter 6, 45, which says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in your heart? It will end up spilling out into the words and the songs that you use. daily ask God to fill your heart with joy and praise so that you can speak his praise aloud. And then sort of finally, really summing up here on this issue of spirit-led worship. Now, if I say this, sometimes in your mind, you might think like, oh, that's when people are jumping around and going a bit bananas, or it's a rock band, or it's very loud. Maybe. But it might also be quiet and calm and still and reflective. The key thing about spirit-led is what it says on the can. It's worship that is led by the Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit wants to stir you to shout and to sing and to dance, go with it. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you in stillness and calmness, then calm yourself down and listen to him. And sometimes worship can be expressed as a physical response, not just as a verbal one. You know, sometimes in worship, it feels appropriate to stand or to sit, maybe to kneel, to clap, to lift your hands. Now, you know, I was raised in a Baptist church, which was quite traditional. We sat down to listen to the sermon and we stood up to sing the songs. And that's the only physical thing that happened in our worship. And it felt a bit weird and strange when I grew up and went to other churches where people were a bit more demonstrative with their worship. But I learned to just relax, not to think, like, what on earth will people think of me? It doesn't matter. It's what does God think of you? He's wanting to speak his words of love and direction into your heart. And that may stir you. You may want to express it some way. Don't put a lid on it. If the Holy Spirit stirs you to do a little dance of joy, go for it. Who are we allowing to lead our worship? Our fears, our inhibitions, our traditions, or the Holy Spirit? Let's hope that 2021 is a year in which Unity Church launches out with the Holy Spirit as our worship leader. Now, just to finish with, I want to give you a little example of it all in practice from a story that I was inspired to look at, actually, through one of the cards I gave out at Community Fridge this very week. And it's a story of Jehoshaphat. And if you want to read along and look at it in your own time, you can find it in 2 Chronicles 20. But it's an amazing story of what happens when people get passionate praise and worship right. Because you may just be thinking, oh, that sounds lovely, Liz. You go and have your passionate praise and worship. I'll be a quiet Christian, just sitting and doing my normal thing. Thank you very much. But you know, there's not really an option for that. If God wants to use you to effect change in this world, you'll be the person who wants to be in a place of worship with him. You know, the need is great. And in Jehoshaphat's time, the need was exceptionally great. There was a great army who had massed against him, in fact, three countries' armies. And there's going to be some pictures and film footage just going on to illustrate that for a moment. And I'd just like to really quickly whiz you through his story, because you can see that this is a case study in what getting the weapon of praise right can do. You see, Jehoshaphat had, P number one, a problem. He was about to be invaded, trampled, annihilated. I wonder what your problem is. He responded with prayer. He gathered all the people. It was corporate prayer. It wasn't just on his own. By the way, we have a church day of prayer coming up. I wonder if you've signed up for it. In that time of prayer, there was a word of prophecy. And somebody stood up and shared a word of prophecy. It'd be great to have a bit more of that in our church. In response to this prophecy, King Jehoshaphat and all the people lay on the ground. It says they prostrated themselves. They lay in submission. They allowed themselves to be moved physically with the awe of what was going on. God was in control and nobody could deny it. And God spoke through that word of prophecy and gave them a plan. It was amazing. They weren't to go out with their swords and their shields and chariots and what have you. But the plan that God had was completely out of a different playbook. And that plan for Unity Church may arise out of our times of worship. Not through committees, maybe not Dave sweating the small stuff at midnight to try and work out a plan. I believe it will arise out of our collective times of prayer and worship. Be part of it. Could be exciting. And the plan in Jehoshaphat's case was to put not his charioteers at the front of the attack, but the choir, the worship band. Out they went, singing praise and worship. Praise leads the way. And praise can cut through things that are obstacles. Spiritual forces at work that maybe are keeping people in the darkness and in sort of enslavement to things. Praise and worship can cut through those things. We can use our prayers as a weapon. There's a song I love. It's an oldie but a goldie. And it has these words. It says, "The Lord has given a land of good things. I will press in and make them mine. I'll know his power, I'll know his glory, and in his kingdom I will shine." This is it. "With the high praises of God on our mouth and a two-edged sword," it's the Bible, "in our hand, we'll walk right into the victory side, right into Canaan's land." And it's a fighting song. The high praises of God on our lips. That's how Jehoshaphat's army went in. That's how Unity Church is going to go in. With God's praises on our lips, the Bible in our hands, the love of God in our hearts, who can say what could be achieved? The results for Jehoshaphat were, number one, peace. No more war. Number two, plunder. The amount of blessing they got from all of the chariots. It says it took them 3 days to clear up all of the plunder and take that back. I believe God's going to bring things to us that are going to be useful to us as we praise him. It might be people. It might be buildings. It might be grants. It might be, I don't know what. It's exciting. God's got something in hand for us. And finally, it says that all the nations around Jehoshaphat were in awe and said, "This is a mighty God." So praise was given to God from other countries. And I think as we step out in faith and passionate praise, God's going to do something in our community. Do you know, it blessed my heart beyond words that people have said to me through what they've seen of the Community Fridge and Unity Church, they've suddenly realised that this is a community that cares. How amazing is that, to be part of that? Well, I've come to the end. Hurrah! You're probably thinking. I'm going to put one last song on. That's one of my favourite singer-songwriters, Audrey Assad. It's quite a quiet song. It's for you to have a chance to listen to. Has God laid something on your heart this morning? Does he want to speak into your life? The song is called "Good to Me." God wants to be good to you. He is good to you now and for always. All the time, God is good, and God is good all the time. So listen to the song. Maybe try just opening your hands, sitting in an attitude where you just want to say, "Thank you, God, you're good." Listen in. Know and experience what he has for you.
I put all my hope on the truth of your promise, and I steady my heart on the ground of your goodness. When I'm bowed down with sorrow, I will the foxes in the vineyard will not steal my joy, because you are I trust in your promise. Yeah, your goodness and mercy shall follow me all my life. I trust.
Trust me.